You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Tuesday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all sorts of thoughts and feelings all about the Los Angeles Kings 5 days a week here on your favorite podcast network app listening tool of choice. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show, and as always, I'm glad to be here with you talking about the Kings. If you don't know me, I have been hosting Locked On Kings for like 2 years now, three. This is the third season, going into covering the third season for the Kings for the Locked On NHL Network. You can also find me writing stuff occasionally over at Hockey Royalty, and in general, I've been looking in on the Kings and expressing occasionally annoyed feelings about them online since about 2016, so I have been around a while and watching this team be bad for a while. So I'm here to hopefully help us lead into a better, brighter future for the Kings. And that starts now with those last two wins. We talked about them on yesterday's show with the Kings winning over Montreal and Buffalo. Sure, that's like pretty, like, you know, the bar is on the floor, so they kind of stepped over it, so good job. But you got to start somewhere, right? So hopefully better days are ahead for us and the Kings. On today's show, I've got some prospect updates for you. I have some kind of general Kings news, lineup news, all that stuff that we're going to talk about. And then, like I said yesterday, we're going to be looking in on the Ontario Reign because they, much unlike the Kings, have had a really, really strong start to their season. We've talked about them a little bit before, but after their past weekend of games, we're going to check in again with the Reign just to see how they're doing. But of course, first up, most importantly, is the Los Angeles Kings and what is going on with them. As we've kind of talked about over the past really couple of weeks, ever since Austin Strand first got called up, he's basically going to be the ping pong ball at this point, getting sent back and forth between the Kings and the Reign. This is a cap move to keep him from hitting the Kings cap too much. It's also a move to sort of reset part of the time clock on waivers for him so that he doesn't. They don't have to worry about that running out necessarily quite as quickly. Again, the rules on waivers are once you've been up on the NHL roster for either 10 games or 30 cumulative days, then you would have to pass back through waivers to be reassigned to the AHL. So he's going to be kind of bouncing back and forth. Pretty much anytime you see an announcement that says Austin Strand reassigned to the Ontario Reign, you can almost be guaranteed, at least for now, until Doughty is ready to come back, again, Sean Walker out for the season, you can be pretty assured that that move is a paper transaction and that he's not actually going anywhere. He's not going to be playing a game for the Reign, most likely. He is just getting moved around for procedural reasons. We might end up seeing them do the same thing with Cale Clegg as well, because he's in that same situation of needing to pass back through waivers. Ultimately, unless the Kings make a trade, one of those guys is going to be up with the team for the rest of the season, at least, because of Sean Walker's injury. So eventually they're going to have to stop playing paper shenanigans with these players because one of them is here for good, at least this year. But Austin Strand, of course, right now has been the ping pong ball. So he was called back up on Tuesday and therefore will be available for practice and for Wednesday's game against the St. Louis Blues. So nothing to panic about there. We still don't have any new news on Victor Arvidsson or Gabe Vilardi. Both of those guys missed the last game because of being put on COVID protocols. No news probably means that they are still on COVID protocols, so don't expect really anything else to happen with them until they're off that list. Andreas Athanasiou is back skating in a regular jersey, so he is getting closer and closer to actually being able to come off the injured reserve list and play. He previously had been in one of those no-contact jerseys, so it looks like he is, you know, taking the next step in whatever that injury was, because no one has ever really specified it, but he is taking that next step in getting ready to come back and join the Kings. So eventually we're going to also have to figure out what to do with him and where he fits in on this roster, on this lineup, and who he's going to bump, because someone is going to have to get bumped unless they, you know, for some reason waive him or trade him, but That doesn't seem to be the case. So Andreas Athanasiou back sort of-ish, and eventually we're going to have updates on getting him back in the lineup. Another interesting thing that came out of practice today is that Todd McClellan confirmed that most likely getting bumped up to the first line is Elias Anderson, who had been out of the lineup since really the start of the season with an injury. He came back in a couple of games ago, and I'm really curious to see this. I think it'll be, much as I liked Arthur Kaliev there, I think Elias Anderson sort of has a similar kind of gritty profile to him, is someone who we know can play at an elite level, at least end levels below the NHL, and we're just kind of waiting to see it all take shape for the NHL level of play. But I think this will be a really interesting opportunity for him to see how it works. I know the Kaliev experiment, I think that McClellan sort of blended those lines up. He didn't spend the whole game with Kopitar, so it'll be interesting to see really what he sees in Anderson with Kopitar and Brown, but it'll be an interesting way also to kind of get Elias Anderson going after coming back from this injury. We all saw in the preseason how effective he looked with Gabe Vilardi and Vladimir Kachev, who in the preseason were really the formidable line for the Kings. And then obviously Vilardi has struggled. Kachev has been sent to the AHL and Anderson got hurt. So, oops. So I'm excited to see what comes of this. I hope that, you know, obviously if McClellan is making this choice, he sees something there. So I also hope he doesn't hit the like line blender button too quickly, because you got to give this one time to work itself out. So keep an eye on that, because that could be really interesting. McClellan talked today after practice kind of about his thoughts on Arthur Kaliev up there, and really said that he thought it was a learning experience for the player, and it gives you kind of an idea of where he's at, skill-wise, speed-wise, physicality, to play in that role. I think the quote from McClellan was interesting. He says, "Artie gave us as much as he could, but it's a real good example of youth. Artie may be ready to play in the league, but is he ready to play in the league on that line against top-end checkers, heavy players? The night before, Artie had around 14 minutes of ice, and we had him at 11 minutes through two periods on Sunday, and the engine just wasn't good enough in back-to-back games. I think it was obvious, and he knew that too. It's a great learning experience for him, and I think it gives you a good appreciation for how Kopi and some of these veteran star players haul around players for 20 minutes a night back-to-back. They know when to hit the gas pedal and when to hit the brake. Younger players may be there skill-wise or even size-wise, but they're still learning how to play the game, and that's where Arthur is right now." I thought that was a really interesting, honest perspective on the youth and what it takes to step up your game to the next level of play in the NHL. And I think that that really kind of gives you all you need to know, really, about what we've seen and what McClellan wants to see a little more of. Like, could this be a conditioning thing? Is this just a, you know, the body and the feet and the hands and the mind all have to catch up to each other kind of thing? Is it just learning the tendencies of other players? Most guys, if you're going to throw them out there against other top lines, like, you know, Kopitar doesn't get the easy players. He doesn't get the guys who are just sort of like vaguely suspect in terms of skills. No, like, teams are sending their best players out against him. So, you know, I think that's part of why Alex Iafallo has worked in that role for so long and so well, because he very quickly at the NHL level adapted to being able to play with that level, that caliber of players, which is not something, you know, per this, per any other person we've seen thrown up there onto Kopitar's line, not something that every player gets or is able to sustain. So I really thought that was interesting. I want to talk a little bit more about that in the next part of the show. But before we do that, let's also talk about television, because I bet you love television. I also love television. I also love not having to like deal with having 400 different remotes and a bunch of different devices and 17 different subscriptions and remembering a password and a login and all that stuff. It's really frustrating. So DirecTV is a new way to help you get all of your sports, all of your television together all at once without the hassle. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in the same place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, of course, is that there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. So, like, I know going back to the stuff with Kaliev and playing him on the first line and McClellan kind of acknowledging, listen, he's not there yet. You know, I think that sometimes, I think two things can be true at once. A, I think that both fans and media can be a little too precious about prospects, about looking at each guy and being like, aha, this guy is going to be a star. This guy is going to be, you know, the new savior of the right wing position for the Kings or whatever. And that's simply just not always the case. And that's not a bad thing. First off, you need players all up and down your lineup. I always look at Cal Clifford and Trevor Lewis as an example of guys who were drafted high who never really rose above that bottom six kind of role on the team, but still provided a very crucial role for the team. They knew what that role was, and they did it very well for as long as they were with the Kings. So, A, you need prospects to pan out across your lineup. You need guys who are able to figure out what they have to do to stay in the NHL. Not everyone can be a top six player. There's only, you know, six spots there. So guys have to figure out, okay, if I want to make it into the NHL, if I don't want to like get traded to another team, what do I have to do? And usually the answer is become a penalty killer, be really good defensively, you know, learn how to block shots, learn how to be the guy in front of the net. And you get a lot of gifted players who at the juniors level were astounding in terms of scoring, who when they get to the NHL, they're like, well, time to stop scoring. I mean, it's not that blatant, but there is sort of a path to success for some players, and it doesn't run through being the high-octane offensive caliber player that they all want to be. I think a good example of this is right here on our own team with Phil Deneau, who throughout his time in juniors in the Quebec League was, you know, not the top scorer in the league, but was someone who contributed at essentially a point per game pace throughout his juniors career. He played 243 games, had 251 points in the Quebec Major Junior League, 74 goals, 177 assists. I kind of covered him through the early part of his career when he was with Chicago and with Rockford, and really the kind of message that he got through development camp, through working with the coaches, was he was basically supposed to be Marcus Kruger 2.0. And if you didn't follow Chicago at that time, Marcus Kruger was basically like the best like third, fourth line center you could think of. He was very strong defensively, really good on faceoffs, came out to basically take any sort of crucial draws at, you know, ends of games. He was just the guy you wanted out there in a situation where you had to protect your own net to secure a win or whatever. And Deneau was sort of cast in that same mold, and that is what they brought him up, you know, developmentally to do once he went professional and came into the AHL. He was sort of groomed into that role of, listen, this is what we need you to be. And especially coming out of a league like the Quebec League, where defense is very optional, even more optional usually than in the OHL, coming out of that league and being like, okay, I commit, I'm going to focus defensively, and turning into this player who is now kind of regarded throughout the league as a kind of premier shutdown guy, that's a choice that he had to make. And he could have said, eh, no, I'm going to try my luck somewhere else. I'm not going to learn what you want me to do. Those guys oftentimes end up stuck in the AHL forever because they don't want to adapt. They can't adapt. And that's occasionally where you get some of these career AHLers from. But so that's a long way of saying that I think it's important to acknowledge, A, that not every prospect is going to be your top six, top line player scoring you 50 goals a year, and that's okay. And also to acknowledge that I know that we're all hungry to see the prospects play. We're hungry to see the kids come up and to see them, A, start pushing the veterans, to see them start making a difference on the team. But that doesn't always mean throwing them to the wolves. That doesn't always mean putting them in position that they're not going to be successful in. that's the last thing you want, is to set your prospects up to fail. We're seeing this a little bit with Jamie Drysdale and the Anaheim Ducks. Drysdale has essentially been thrown to the wolves ever since jumping up into the NHL. He was supposed to go to juniors last year, but because of COVID, the OHL didn't play. He spent time in the AHL and then got called up because, A, he was doing well in the AHL, but B, the Ducks had so many issues on defense in terms of injuries and missing players and everything that they needed a body, and he was good and he could generally hold his own. But if you look at his fancy stats, they're terrible. They're like among the worst in the league. And is that really reflective of who Jamie Drysdale is? The answer is probably no. Sure, he is more profiled as an offensive defenseman, so you would expect maybe his defensive numbers to be a little bit iffy sometimes, but ultimately, you look at his profile and you see basically all of the stats in the red, and you're like, wow, holy crap, is this kid a bust? No, he's not a bust. He just hasn't been put in a position to succeed. He isn't being played in ways that lead to his strengths, and his development could potentially be suffering because of that, all because he was rushed to a position that he wasn't quite ready for, hadn't really been equipped or put in a role to do well at. And while obviously you want your elite prospects to be able to figure it out, sometimes it takes time, and Drysdale hasn't really been afforded that. So we don't want to see a guy like Kaliev, a guy like Byfield, a guy like any of these people, like Vilardi could be a whole other show, because I think the Kings have not particularly managed his development well. But you don't want to see these guys who are very high talent level prospects be set up to fail. You don't want to see them be rushed into a role that they're not ready for. And sure, sometimes that spurs a guy on to like rise up and go above and beyond the call of duty, whatever. But mostly it's just going to give them frustrated. They're going to get scratched. They're going to be like unhappy because they're not getting it. They're not getting what the coach wants. It's just not a great situation overall. So I'm totally okay with what McClellan said about Kaliev, about coming out and acknowledging he can play in this league, but can he play on that line? And right now the answer is no. I am more than okay with seeing Kaliev get a lot of time in the power play. I think eventually he's going to pick up those offensive numbers the more time he gets. But in terms of throwing him onto the first line, I don't think he's there yet, and I think that McClellan is making the right call here. So those are sort of my thoughts on some of the lineup news that the Kings are going through at the moment. We're going to close the show with a look at the Ontario Reign. But before we get to that, we also have Bet Online to tell you about, because Bet Online is back and they are better than ever. They've got a new web interface ready for the start of basketball season, and you can find more odds, props, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is, of course, your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season, so head on over to the new updated website on your desktop, on your mobile device, to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. So whether it's basketball, football, baseball, which is allegedly almost done, hockey, boxing, fighting, casino games, or whatever, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So head on over to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up, and go get ready. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. So finally, wanted to wrap up today's show by talking about the Ontario Reign, because this season is basically the polar opposite of what we saw last season. Last season, they got off to a terrible start. There were immediate calls of like, all our prospects are busts and John Wroblewski doesn't know what he's doing and like, fire everyone, blah, blah, blah. This season, the Reign are doing fantastic in a division that has some pretty tough competition. The Reign at this point in time, this is being recorded Tuesday evening, not long before you'll listen to it, the Reign are one of four teams left who have not lost a game in regulation. The other teams, the Springfield Thunderbirds, who are 5-0-2, the Stockton Heat, who are 4-0-1, and the Utica Comets, who have four wins, no losses at all. The Reign right now are 6-0-1. They had one loss that came in a shootout. But overall, this is possibly like the best start that you could have imagined for the Reign, especially given that they're a team that already has lost some of their top players to the NHL. Cale Clegg obviously is up there now. We have Austin Strand, who has been pulled up. Arthur Kaliev is a guy who I think a lot of people questioned which league he would play in. Rasmus Kupari, assigned to the AHL, has been a regular fixture with the NHL and I don't think is going to be going anywhere. So they've had a lot of turmoil and they have actually weathered it very strongly so far. The Reign had a quick road trip over the last weekend up to Abbotsford to play the Abbotsford Canucks. The Canucks are the only team that has handed the Reign a loss. They lost the second game of the season to Abbotsford in the shootout, also conveniently handing Abbotsford their first win as a franchise. These two games in Abbotsford went really well for the Reign. The first game was a 5-2 win in regulation. The second game was a 3-2 win in overtime. And we are seeing contributions from up and down the lineup. We are seeing special teams get work done. We are seeing players who we acquired in the offseason step up big for the team and do basically what we called them here to do. TJ Tynan, who was acquired in the offseason, both as part of, you know, veteran leadership and as a player who can put the puck in the net or who can give the puck to someone who's going to put it in the net. He is sixth in terms of AHL scoring. Well, really, technically, he is tied for third with several other players, but he has 10 points overall. The AHL scoring leader right now has 14 points, so he's not very far behind. He has 1 goal and 9 assists through 7 games, and he is basically doing historically what he has done his whole career, which is score points. He is a center. He's playing on the top line for the Reign, spending a lot of time with Alex Turcotte, and I think those two guys are meshing together pretty well, especially when Turcotte kind of needs a spark. Tynan has been there to provide that. He is a player who I have covered him previously when he played in Chicago with the Wolves, and is someone who is always really well respected in that locker room as a leader. He is someone who the young players looked up to, came to for advice. You know, if there's a tough game, he was always the one out there to answer about it, and always available to the other players to talk about it. So I was always really impressed with him, not only as a player, but as a leader in that room. And so I was really excited when the Reign signed him, or when the Kings signed him for the Reign, because I've seen firsthand what he gives, what he brings to a team. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing here on this team and is bringing kind of a new level of offense, a new, you know, level of experience to that front group of players. So I've been really, really excited about that. The Reign, he is, of course, leading the Reign in overall points, leading the Reign in goals. No surprise here, it's Martin Ferk. He has 4 goals on the season, 6 points overall. Ferk is a guy who loves to shoot the puck. We certainly know that. His 26 shots on goal, of course, also lead the team. And Ferk, like Tynan, is doing what he was brought there to do, which is score goals. We also have Braden Burke, who was acquired in the offseason. That was part of the trade that sent Boko Imama to Arizona. Burke has been great for the Reign as well. 3 goals so far. Samuel Fugimo, Jared Anderson Dolan, Sean Dursey, Tyler Madden. These are all guys who are doing the work, putting the puck in the net. Guys like Anderson Dolan, Austin Wagner, both of them guys sent down from the NHL, has to sting, but both of them have come into the Reign seemingly, you know, I'm not there in the room, obviously, but just from watching games, they're there with a positive attitude. They're not taking shifts off. They're not sulking on the ice. They're doing their jobs. We are seeing a very different Reign team than we saw last year. You know, last year, they got on kind of a roll towards the end of the year, but it took a really long time for everything to kind of start piecing itself together. And I feel like this is just sort of the natural extension of that. In both games, we saw the Reign come back from a tie, essentially. In the first game against Abbotsford, they ended the second period 2-2. They gave up the tying goal at the end of the second period. The Reign reeled off 3 goals in the third period to take home the win. On that one, they also got behind early. The only goal in the first period went to Abbotsford. Sheldon Dries, by the way, I feel like most of his goals this season already have come against the Reign. He's very irritating. He's good. That's why he's irritating, but he's also very pesty. Just keep an eye out for him because he, I think, is going to do a lot of damage to the Reign this season. The game that they the Reign won in overtime, won by TJ Tynan with his first goal of the season. In this game, the Reign had a 2-0 lead that came out of the first period with goals from Ferk and Anderson Dolan. And then over the course of the rest of the game, gave it up. They dominated the overtime period. 5-1, came away with the win. So this team also is finding a way to get themselves out of bad situations, which is also not something that we saw from the Reign previously last year. So I would say if you are getting frustrated with the Kings, if you are watching them and being like, oh, I've got to endure this again, especially if they start losing, go watch the Ontario Reign. Go in person. If you're in the area, tickets are cheap. They need fans in the seats to provide that energy. If you're afraid of having to sit in close contact with other people, I can assure you there's going to be room to spread out. And really just go and support the Ontario Reign. If you aren't in the area, of course, the AHL has a streaming package that you can check out. But I think that they are a really fun team and deserve eyes on their performances, because you know what I said earlier about, like, not all of our prospects can pan out, not all of them can hit at the NHL level, or some of them are going to have to play different roles than maybe we thought they would. If you want to start getting an idea for what these guys bring, if you want to start looking at where they're going to fit in potential future Kings lineups, you got to do it by watching the Reign. And this season has been really fun so far. Last season was a slog with the Reign. It was really tough to watch both them and the Kings struggle at the same time, often for the same reasons. The Reign have work to do. They're not a perfect team. They probably need to stop taking as many penalties as they do, but for right now, they're able to get themselves out of jams, which is really crucial. So I will just end today's show with another plea to pay attention to the Reign. Go watch our prospects, go support them, see what the future of the Kings is going to look like. That is all that I have for you today. Just wanted to take a quick look at some of the news that we've been seeing about the Kings and their lineup, as well as a look at the Reign. So tomorrow, make sure you come back, because we're going to look at the St. Louis Blues game. We finally get to face them again. Oh no, it's been so long. We'll be checking in on that matchup as well. Also, later this week, I'm going to be talking with Trey Matthews, who is host of Locked on Devils, ahead of the team's matchup later this week. So we're going to hear from him all about what is going on out there in New Jersey. So if you have any questions about the Devils, anything you would like me to be asking Trey, make sure you send me a tweet at LockedOnLAKings. Go and let me know what you want to know all about the New Jersey Devils. So follow the show on Twitter. Make sure you get all of the cool updates like that, that you never miss anything. Make sure you're subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. It is available everywhere. It's free. Just hit the subscribe button if you have not done that already. Tell your friends all about it, because we are here all season long covering the Kings and eventually probably the Reign, because we know how life goes here. And you can get all that news right here on this show. Until next time, this has been Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.